Okay, today, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to conclude Masechta Shkalim and begin the next Masechta. We'll move on to Masechta Yoma. So, Masechta Shkalim, Perek Ches, Mishnah Ches. So, the Mishnah is going to tell us where the parts of Karbonos that are kosher are put until they're ready to be brought onto the Mizbeach. Say, Varia Tamid, the various limbs of the Karbon Tamid, which is, Karbon Tamid is a Karbon Ola, so the whole thing is going to end up being burnt on the Mizbeach. So, what do you do with it until it's ready to be burnt on the Mizbeach? Nitanin Mechatzi Kevesh Lamata B'Ma'arav. You put it on the lower half of the ramp that leads up to the Mizbeach. On the western side of that ramp, you just leave those limbs there until they're ready to be brought. V'shal Musafin Nitanin Mechatzi Kevesh Ulamata B'Mizrach. The Karbon Musaf pieces, you would leave on the lower eastern quadrant of the ramp that goes up to the Mizbeach. V'shal Rashi Chadashim, and if it's a Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, Nitanin Al Karkov HaMizbeach L'mali. You put it on the ramp above the ledge of the Mizbeach, meaning at six amos above ground level, the Mizbeach was indented and it had a ledge of one amma going around the Mizbeach for the Kohanim to walk on. So the limbs of the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh were put on the ramp above the height of that ledge. And the reason they were put higher up than the Karbon Tamid and then other Musafin is in order to let everyone know that it was Rosh Chodesh. It was a way of publicizing, it was more visible, and it was a way of publicizing that it was Rosh Chodesh. So it was put on the Karkof HaMizbeach Milamayla. So now, the mitzvah of Shkalim and various other mitzvahs, are these mitzvahs something that we still do when we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash? Meaning, now we're going to conclude Masechta Shkalim with sort of a message to us, now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, what happens to Beis HaMikdash related mitzvos. So Shkalim v'Bikurim ein noagin behen, ein noagin elo b'fnei habayis. The mitzvah of Shkalim and the mitzvah of Bikurim, that you bring your first fruits of that are made from the Shivas Haminim that Eretz Yisrael is praised with, wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and dates, that you have to bring those first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash, that's not noeg when there is no Beis HaMikdash. Alva Meiser Dagon, Meiser Behema, v'Abchoros, but when it comes to Meiser from grain and Meiser of animals, one out of every 10 animals born into your flock each year has to be given as Meiser Behema, and then you would bring it as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, and you get to eat the meat of it, but you have to bring it as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. Vabechoros, and the firstborn animals of cattle, sheep, or goats is also automatically kadosh when it's the firstborn, and you give it to a Kohen, and the Kohen brings it as a Karban, and the Kohen is the one that eats it. So, Noagin, Bein B'fnei HaBayis, Bein B'shelo B'fnei HaBayis. All of those things apply whether there's a Beis HaMikdash or not. Now, Meiser, you understand how that could apply, because there's no bringing as a Karban element of it. Bechor and Meiser animals, they're supposed to be brought as a Karban. So what do? So nowadays, we can't bring them as a Karban anymore, so you have to wait until they develop a Mum, and then you can shech them and eat them, because even when the Beis HaMikdash was around, if it would become a Bal Mum, you would not be able to bring it as a Karban, then you'd be allowed to eat it. Now, a Bechor would still have to be given to a Kohen, so we still have that problem nowadays, that if you have a Jewish farmer and he has a Bechor that's born into his flock, he's got a problem. That animal has Kedusha, and not only that, even if the animal develops a Mum, it's going to be a problem because only Kohen's allowed to eat it, and we don't really have Kohanim Yuchasim. So what do you do with it? So what we generally do is we do a Mechira, similar to Mechiras Chametz. If you have a Behema HaMevakeres, you have an animal that's about to give birth to its first baby, you would sell it to a Goy, because if a Goy owned it, then there is no din of Bechar. So we said that there's no Shkalim or Bikurim anymore, that there's no Beis HaMikdash. I mean, God willing, there will be again soon when we have a third Beis HaMikdash. But what about if someone actually did designate something as shkalim or bikurim? Hamakdish shkalim or bikurim. If someone designated coins for shkalim or fruits for bikurim, and there is no Beis HaMikdash, hareza kadosh. It actually has kedusha. Rabbi Shimon Omer, haomer bikurim kodesh, einon kodesh. That if someone says these bikurim are kodesh, they are not kodesh. Rabbi Shimon holds that since the Torah associates bikurim with the Beis HaMikdash, it's not just that there's no chiyuv to be mafresh bikurim; it's that there's no capacity, there's no ability to be mafresh bikurim, and therefore it's not kodesh at all. Salak Masechah Shkalim. Now we move on to Masechah Yuma. Masechah Yuma, Yoma is obviously all about Yom Kippurim, and a lot of it relates to the avoda of a Yom Kippurim. It's a good idea to chazer over Masechah Yoma in the days leading up to Yom Kippur. Many people have the minhag that they spend the night of Yom Kippur after Kol Nidre night. They stay up and they learn Masechah Yoma so that they'll be more familiar with the avoda on Yom Kippur. All a good idea. I think the Seraph Salvechik said that he had learned the halachos of the avoda of Yom Kippurim so many times that he felt that if the Beis Hamikdash was around and he were a Kohen, he'd be prepared, that he'd be able to actually perform the avoda. Okay, so we're not going to get to that point with Mishnah Yomi, but let's at least try to get a basic sense. So the Mishnah starts by describing how we make sure that there's a Kohen Gadol who's ready to do the job. So Shivas Yom Kodim Yom Kippurim, 7 days in advance of Yom Kippurim, Mafrishin Kohen Gadol Mibeso. We take the Kohen Gadol and we separate him from his family, Lulishchas Palhedrin, and we quarantine him in a place called the Lishchas Parhedrin, which would overlook the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash. U'masaknu Kohen Acher Tachtav, and you'd also have a backup Kohen to serve as Kohen Gadol, Shemi Yerubo Psul, in case there was any sort of Psul that happened to the normal Kohen Gadol, to the original Kohen Gadol. If he became Tameh and he wouldn't be able to become Tahar in time for Yom HaKippurim, you always needed a backup. You know, that's the way Tumah works sometimes. You know, unlike, let's say, with Averos and with Karbanos, where if a person does an Avera, Bishogeg or Bimezid, so they did an Avera. But if it's Ba'onas, Onas Rachmanapatre, nothing happened, no harm, no foul. When it comes to Tumah, it could be totally Ba'onas. It could be with no intent whatsoever and totally out of your control. But Tameh is Tameh. So if the Kohen Gadol is, spending his week in quarantine and a guy comes to say hello to him and drops dead on the spot and he ends up in the same room as that guy, so he's Tameh and there's nothing you can do about it. So you always need to have a backup just in case he becomes Tameh. However, whatever form of Tumah it might be, that he's not going to be able to get over in time for Yom HaKippurim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Isha Acheres Maskinin Lo. Not only do we prepare a backup Kohen Gadol, we prepare a backup wife, Shema Tomos Ishto, because if his wife dies that week, he's going to be single at the time of the Avoda, and the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be single at the time of the Avoda. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, V'chiper ba'ado uva'ad beso. So beso, zo ishto. Beso is always a reference to one's wife, and therefore you need another wife waiting in the wings in case something happens to his wife. So the Chum said, back to Rabbi Yehuda, Amar lo, im kenein l'dav. So there's only so much you can prepare for. Are you going to prepare a backup wife? Maybe you should prepare a backup to the backup wife, because maybe both wives are going to die. Obviously, there's no way to be 100% certain. We just have to do what is reasonable, what is a reasonable hishtadlus. So let's review what we learned today in the last Mishnah of Masechah Shkalim. We learned that, in the last Mishnah of Masechah Shkalim, we learned where they would place the limbs of a Karban Tamid and of a Karban Musaf and of the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh on the ramp of the Mizbeach before they would burn it on the Mizbeach. So for the Karban Tamid and Musaf, it was on the lower quadrants of the Mizbeach, but the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh was on the higher part of the Mizbeach so that everyone could see that it was Rosh Chodesh. And then we said that Shkalim and Vikurim are things that you only have a mitzvah to do when there is a Beis HaMikdash. But Maaser Dagon, Maaser Behema, and Bechoros, you have a mitzvah even when there is no Beis HaMikdash. And if a person is Makdish Shkalim and Vikurim Bizman Hazeh, Tanakama says it still has Kedusha. Rabbi Shimon says not for Bikurim, that Bikurim cannot become Kadosh at all when there is no Beis HaMikdash. And then in Yoma, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, we said that 7 days in advance of Yom HaKippurim, we would take the Kohen Gadol out of his house and put him in the Lishchas Parhedrin, and we'd prepare a backup Kohen Gadol in case any psul would happen. And Rabbi Yehuda said we'd also prepare a backup wife in case his wife would die. But the Rabbanan said, nah, you're not going to prepare a backup wife because there's no way to account for every possibility of what might happen. And that would be a situation of Ein L'Davar Sof. Okay, Bezrem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Yoma, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis.